Today is the final week of Hope is Here. And so I get the opportunity to wrap the series up. And so far it has been encouraging for us as a church family, encouraging in terms of our relationship with Jesus Christ, and also encouraging and challenging us with our relationship with each other. And Pastor Don has taken us through all of that. The first week we learn with our Jesus Christ. Hey, there we go. All right. Thank you, Josh. We learn that there is hope for the weary because we don't have to carry our burdens alone. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says that we should cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Speaking of burden, in Matthew 11:28, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We don't have to carry our burdens. Jesus is telling us, give it to me, bring it to me, I'll take care of it. The second week, we discover that there is hope for the broken, because forgiveness is offered to us in love through Jesus Christ. The third week, we recognize that there is hope for the underdog, because with God, we can do anything. All things are possible through Him. And today, we deal with one of the hardest places to find hope, and that is there hope for the doubter? Is there hope for the doubter? When life gets tough, it is easy to doubt that things can get better. Christ's disciples watch him be crucified and buried in a tomb, and they were devastated. Even though others claimed that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, Thomas did not want to get his hopes up, only to be disappointed again. He doubted their story. But it was not until Thomas saw the scars on Jesus' hands and sighed that he was filled with hope. Some of us have experienced such tragedy in our lives when we struggled with doubt. And we need to know that Jesus has overcome death, that He is alive and He is well, and that we no longer have to doubt whether or not He will come to us at the time when we need Him. Let's look at our scripture today in John 20:24-29. And this should be in our PowerPoint. If not, there is a Bible in the row of chairs in front of you. Take that Bible. And like we always say, if you don't have a Bible at home, take that with you and keep it at your home. But John 20:24-29. It reads, it says, "Now Thomas, also called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Have you ever asked the question, where was Thomas? The rest of the disciples were in the home. Where did he go? They were all supposed to be together, especially during that time when they just lost their friend. And we will probably figure that out as we go along. "But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. We will stop there. I went a verse earlier. Later after that. Jesus, we come to you and we ask that your Holy Spirit will be our guide and our teacher. Open our hearts and our minds. And help us, O God, that we would see and understand what your word is trying to teach us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever heard of a piece of information that you had a hard time believing? Maybe it seemed so outlandish that it made you doubt. Maybe it was too good to be true. And you were very skeptical. And there was doubt in your hearts and in your mind about the whole situation. Now, I want to pose a few questions to you this morning. And you don't have to raise your hand to say, well, that is true or that is false. But in your mind, I want you to think about, is it true or is it false? And so you have an opportunity to do that. Did you know that every day an average of 11 banks are robbed in the U.S.? Trust it or doubt it. That is true. Did you know that you are more likely to be stung by a bee in a windy weather? That is false. Windy weather, get blown away. I like this one. Did you know that they have square watermelons in Japan because they stack better? That makes sense to me. Did you know that penguins can smell toothpaste from a mile away? That is false. Now, the point is, it is hard to tell what to trust and what to doubt. Sometimes that is very, very difficult. But we have to agree that doubt has become a common occurrence within our culture today. There are people that we know very well who have failed us, and that causes us to doubt even what they say or the lifestyle. There is so much in media today that it caused people to doubt everything. False news, not false news, even with COVID-19, has caused people to doubt because we wonder, where is God in the middle of all of this? Seeing a world that is filled with hurt and with pain, people doubt that if God is indeed a good God. People doubt for all reasons. But I would argue that the problem is not so much with the doubt in itself, but rather how we handle the doubt. Mishandled skepticism always results in a lack of hope. We certainly are not alone in this struggle when it comes to doubt. Because after Jesus' crucifixion, his friends are heartbroken because their hopes and dreams of a better world seemingly had come to an end. It was not until Jesus started showing up in different places to his disciples and to others that they start to believe that he is alive. But there was one disciple named Thomas. He refused to believe. But you know, when we close a look at this whole situation with Thomas, he kind of have a a bad rap within the church. And people probably think that, you know, he's a stuffy skeptic, or he's often viewed as a grumpy old cynic. However, if we are truthful, Thomas came to this situation in his life or this position at that time because of his honesty and what he was feeling at the time. He just watched his master of 3 years be brutally killed on a cross. And the thought of getting his hopes up about a resurrection and that Jesus Christ was alive was a little bit too much for him to wrap his mind around that. And so he doubted. He was more likely to want to stay in doubt until something else happened. Thomas said he will not believe unless he see the evidence in his through his eyes and touch Jesus Christ. I want us to consider a couple of points this morning as we look into this passage. And first of all, doubts do not change our identity. Doubts do not change our identity. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. The fact that we have gathered here today to worship is because our identity is in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That is our identity. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. That is our identity. Doubts do not erase the work that Jesus Christ has done in our hearts and in our lives. When Thomas doubted, that did not mean that he was cut off of fellowship with Jesus Christ and his friends. When Jesus came into the room and Thomas was there, he did not say, "You doubted and you should not be here." But instead, he helped him along from doubt to belief. Doubts are expressed emotions under the circumstances which were very painful for his disciples, especially for Thomas. But doubts do not change our identity. We still belong to Jesus Christ and to the family of God. And secondly, all doubts are not bad. All doubts are not bad. Some people need to doubt before they believe, because doubts will move them to that place. If doubts lead to questions, questions lead to answers, and the answers are accepted, then doubt has done its work. Let me say that again. If doubt leads to questions, questions lead to answers, and the answers are accepted, then doubt has done its work. It is when doubt becomes stubbornness, and stubbornness becomes a lifestyle, that doubt harms faith. So when you doubt, do not stop there. Let your doubt deepen your faith as you continue to search for answers. So it's okay sometimes to have doubt, but all doubts are not bad. We doubt to protect ourselves. We doubt to protect ourselves. And you know, truthfully, we are all like Thomas in one way or another. The doubt that we often express is a way of keeping ourselves from getting our hopes up that all things in our life can improve, that maybe God can answer our prayers, or that God loves us. Thomas did not want to believe that Jesus was alive because he did not want to be let down again. And so he tried to protect himself from that. We often do not want to believe and hope because we are afraid that maybe God will not come true in our situation. Now, as we think about this, what is the very first thing we say when we receive good news? And if you want to help me along in the answers, you're welcome to do so. But what is the first thing that comes to mind? How do we respond? No way. That's what you said. Or you could probably say, you have got to be kidding. And so what that is saying is that we respond first with doubt because we want to protect ourselves. Without much explanation, Jesus in the flesh shows up in this locked room with his disciples, and they must have been shocked to the core. In fact, the first words Jesus spoke to them, he says, "Peace be with you." Perhaps to let them know that they did not have to be afraid. How does he speak, or to whom did he speak first of all when he entered the room? He spoke to Thomas, the one who refused to believe. And notice how he addressed him. Jesus did not reprimand him for his doubt. Jesus did not belittle him for his skepticism. Jesus did not ridicule him for needing proof. No, but he invites Thomas to see for himself. Put your fingers in the scars in my hands. Jesus invites him to see. And what that is saying is that when we go through, and when we are in that stage or in our life, in our journey, Jesus is saying to us as well, I want you to take one step over and come and see. See my hands, see my side, see what I can do. I want you to note in the scripture, at least this is the way that I saw it. When Jesus says, I want you to put your fingers in my hands and on my side, that Thomas did not do that. He did not reach out to Jesus. Instead, when he laid eyes on Jesus, when he heard his voice, the voice that he'd been living with for the last 3 years, and he heard that voice every single day of his life, is just that when you listen to one of your children, you knew it was John, or you knew it was Mary talking. And Thomas, when Thomas saw that, he probably dropped to his knees and he said, my Lord and my God. He didn't have to reach out and touch him. He knew, but from the time he saw him. And this is all he needs. He recognized that it was Jesus. If Jesus can overcome death and the grave, then surely he can be my Lord and my God. This disciple who was the greatest doubter now becomes the disciple who makes the greatest and truest claim about who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ was certainly thankful for his faith in his passage. But guess at that moment who Jesus was thinking about as well. He was thinking about us. Because he said, you see, Thomas, and you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen, and that they will believe. Talking about you and about me. We have not seen Jesus. we took a step of faith and we accepted him as our Lord and as our personal Savior. Jesus is not afraid of our doubts. We may want to think that he is afraid or he'll be mad at us, but he is not. There are many today who are struggling with their faith and they have lost hope in Jesus Christ, of who he is and what he can do. And the usual response to those within the church, within the body, is to shame and to shun them. But I believe that Jesus has a much different answer and reply. He says, I believe we would welcome the questions. I believe that their response would be that I want to know more. He would welcome their conversation. He would welcome and wrestle with them with whatever they're going through, the doubts and the fears. And I think this is because he knows that honest doubt will find honest answers. But Jesus would not turn them away. So how should the church respond today to those who have doubts in the way that would be par with Jesus Christ and how he responded to Thomas? And first of all, the church should listen to those who doubt for what they are not saying as much as what they are saying. Where does the doubt come from? Where is the hurt? Where is the pain? Where is the struggle? You show me a congregation who is willing to listen to people's struggles and doubts and fears, and I will show you a church that is providing hope for the hopeless. And that's what Hope Community Church is all about and wants to do. Secondly, the church should empathize and express compassion. When people let themselves feel others' hurt and pain and struggle, then they are better equipped to meet that need and build a bridge back to faith and to hope. Jesus was not afraid of Thomas' doubts. He welcomed them. And we should not be afraid of other people's doubt either. We go from being full of doubt to being full of hope when we find that people are about us enough to walk with us and to show us love. And then we fail to doubt when we trust the source. We fail to doubt when we trust the source. Thomas' first-hand evidence that came directly from the source, and that is Jesus Christ. And this caused his doubts and his fears to melt away when he saw Jesus himself. And our doubts can turn to hope when we too can go directly to the source and find that Jesus Christ is trustworthy. And the scriptures are full of firsthand all kind of information about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. The church throughout history has seen the power of Jesus and his miraculous way. There is testimony all around us of people who have found Jesus Christ to be real. We are here today because we found Jesus Christ to be real and to be trustworthy. We believe that. When Jesus is the source of our hope, we do not have to doubt and to fear, and we don't have to be crippled by doubt. Even when we feel our faith waver and our confidence shake, knowing Jesus Christ helps us to press on. A story is told about Robert Louis Stevenson, one of the greatest novelists in the 20th century. And he wrote of one of his excursions to the South Sea Islands, where the ship encountered a terrible storm. In the belly of the ship, the passengers grew frightened and worried that the ship would be lost. They were filled with doubts about their safety. And one of the men finally ventured into the wind and rain and scurried to the upper deck, where he saw the captain quietly pacing the bridge with a tranquil and undisturbed face. He looked out across the sea and gave orders for handling the ship. He turned to the man and he smiled. The man made his way back to the cabin where the other passengers were huddled together in fear. In response to their question, he comforted them by saying, "I have seen the captain's face, and all is well." When we recognize that Jesus is here within us, in the middle of our doubts and our fears, we discover that hope is here. All we need to do is to look into the face of Jesus Christ and see that all is well. As we go to prayer this morning, I don't know what kind of doubts and fears that you have, but I want to challenge you today that one, is okay to have the doubts, but there is also hope through Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you as we pray today that if there is any doubt of any shape or form, that you take the next step. And trust him when he says, come and see. Take that next step over. Come and see for yourselves. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the faithfulness of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for teaching us today. We pray now that you would hear the prayers of your children, that you would remove all doubts and fears. Let them know that you are on the throne. You are sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for all of us, even in our doubts and fears. Thank you. And we give you all the praise and all the thanks.